harm people. And then on the other hand, it's funny, I love that you use the word lightness, because in my story, it's the balance between the lightness and the darkness. And in many ways, ballet, which is my vehicle to tell that story, is so much about light and perfection and control. And where my character goes is into the darkness to find that there are also gems, just like the kids at the grief camp are finding, because they have to go there. And there is a presence and an openness that can come from facing some of the more dark aspects of life.
And this is Nine, a film that was shot in Centralia, Washington. It looks like a back lot, actually. It's really a very very beautiful, almost Hollywood-like aesthetic to it, and so it has a bit of that fairy tale quality to it. I have to ask, and Stephanie, maybe you can talk about this, the equipment in just the last decade of filmmaking seems to have gotten to a point where the really beautiful, well-lit look of Hollywood films that was done with a crew of 50 and a huge bunch of heavy equipment, it seems to be something that's more accessible, maybe not to the student filmmaker so much, but certainly to a lot of independent filmmakers who are experienced.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also partly maybe not the right person to ask, because I shot my film on 16mm.
Classic 16mm actual film
stock. Film.
Fantastic.
But you're correct. I mean, film technology has progressed so much in the past, 10 years or so, that, equipment's way more accessible to people, and you can, pick up a camera and go out and shoot, and you don't necessarily need, a huge crew. I feel like more people know about filmmaking and, are more willing to go out and get their, hands dirty and, explore and experiment.
Yeah, what's the, speaking of which, what's the trick to becoming a filmmaker who has the trust of not just the financiers, but also of the community, so you can get people that come in and help you? Because you make it look so easy, all three of you, but the fact is that it's an incredible undertaking that has a lot of unsung people behind the camera and behind the lighting, behind the sound equipment.
I would say for me it was passion, and I produced the film as well, and I really going into Centralia and talking to every single business owner and bringing my pure joy for the story and telling the story. People want to be part of that. And I mean, at the end of the day, yes, I followed through with amazing emails, and I was very deliberate with everything and gracious, beyond anything I could have ever imagined. But I just, at the end of the day, it was the joy, and people want to be part of that.
You have to avoid disasters too. That always helps.
Yes.
You have to be prepared for disasters.
Yes. That's definitely being a part of being an independent filmmaker, is learning how to roll with the punches and knowing, how to be gracious and, thankful.
Mm-hmm. Now, the shorts program that's coming up at PIFF, at the Portland International Film Festival, you've got some really fascinating company. It's a real lineup that's going on there. Got Joanna Priestley and Vanessa Rannoch is in there. So some people that this is just an incredible community here. I mean, people talk about say the musical community or other literary community here, but the filmmaking community is really a well-kept secret.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I feel like this is my student film for the Northwest Film Center. So I feel like I'm just kind of entering this community, but I find it so incredibly supportive. And, I'm so honored also to be screening alongside so many amazing women filmmakers in this shorts program. And I feel like there's just a lot of support for each other in this community. And it's really easy to make friends and find people to collaborate with.
Well, I'm afraid that we're running short on time here in the film show, but I'm wondering if the three of you would like to stay a little longer for the benefit of our listeners on the web, talk a bit more about the filmmaking thing in Oregon.
Absolutely.
Well, that would be great. And what's going on the 11th of February, 11th of February, 8:30 p.m. at the Witzel Auditorium? You will be present for a little Q&A after the Shortcuts Oregon Filmmakers Showcase. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that'll be fantastic. So tickets are available through the Portland International Film Festival box office for people who are interested. Thanks, everybody. We're going to have a little bit more on the web afterwards. And right now, we would really like to join up with Jen, who has this month's film calendar. Before we go, I want to introduce everybody again. Kimberly Warner's film is Nine, Stephanie Huff's film is Heart, and Irene Taylor Brodsky's documentary is One Last Hug. Thanks, all of you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go out to Jen now, who has the film events calendar for this month.
Beginning tomorrow, January 31st, and running through March 1st, the Cascade Festival of African Films returns to PCC Cascade with 18 films from across the African continent. The Hollywood Theater will host opening night with 6:30 and 9 p.m. screenings of the new Chadian film, Grigri. Thursday, Friday, Saturday screenings continue throughout the month, including visiting Nigerian director Obi Emeloyne's Last Flight to Abuja on the 14th and visiting Burkina Bay director Apolline Traore's film Moi Zafira on March 1st. For more info, visit africanfilmfest.org or you can like the fest's Facebook page.
On February 1st, the Hollywood Theater is hosting a Run Run Shaw tribute movie marathon in honor of the recently departed Shaw brother. The marathon kicks off at 7:30 with the monster film Mighty Peking Man, to be followed by two secret films with vintage trailers in between. More information at hollywoodtheater.org.
From February 1st through the 15th, the Portland Black Film Festival returns to the Hollywood Theater, featuring films directed by African Americans or films about being black in America. Highlights include the much-anticipated new documentary 12 O'Clock Boys, as well as 35mm prints of classics like Beat Street and Purple Rain. The fest will once again be curated by local writer, director, and black cinema historian David Walker. Learn more at hollywoodtheater.org.
On February 7th, the Clinton Street Theater will host a VHS exchange party in collaboration with Floating World Comics. Show up at 5:30 for the VHS swap and stick around for a surprise screening at 7 p.m. Visit cstpdx.com for more info.
Two of our very own KBOO at the Clinton events are coming up this month at the Clinton Street Theater. On February 11th, catch a 7 p.m. screening of Amandla, a four-part harmony, which is a documentary about the role of protest music in the South African liberation struggle. And on the 13th, Contessa de la Luna will host her second annual Valentine's Day Spectacular, featuring, among other wonders, a 7 p.m. screening of Kevin Smith's religious satire, Dogma. For more info, check out cstpdx.com or our website, kboo.fm.
We should also mention a few more installations of monthly screening series at the Clinton. On February 8th, the Sex Worker film series continues with a 7 p.m. screening of Profane, about a young Muslim dominatrix. And the Real Feminism series continues on February 26th with a 7 p.m. screening of Compensation, featuring two African-American love stories between a deaf woman and a hearing man. Once more with feeling, cstpdx.com.
Well, that about wraps it up for this month's edition of The Film Show. I'm Jen Chavez.
And I'm S.W. Conser. Thanks, as always, to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web.
The audio for this show, as well as our extended interviews, will be available later, as usual, on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. And you can keep up with us on Twitter, at KBOO Film Show.
Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
Ha, ha, this away, ha, ha, that away. Ha, ha, this away, then, oh, then. Ha, ha, this away, ha, ha, that away. Ha, ha, this away, then, oh, then.
Oh.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, January 30th. I'm Kristen Yount. Three United Nations inspectors are in southern Iran in the city of Bandar Abba, a port in the Persian Gulf, home to the Gachin uranium mine. An accord that took effect on the 20th of this month mandates that Iran will take a six-month hiatus from the nuclear enrichment program so that UN inspectors can further scrutinize Iran's nuclear program, and in exchange, Tehran should see a reduction in sanctions. The International Atomic Energy Agency wants to find out if the yellow cake uranium at Gachin is tied to the military. The Iraq site, which is still under construction, will also be inspected. Iranian media claims that the inspections are voluntary and that international treaties do not require the inspections. The United States House of Representatives passed a farm bill that includes a 1% cut in the Supplemental Nutrition Program, or food stamps. Also, government subsidies were cut. Audits show that farms were collecting government monies when they were not, in fact, growing crops. The subsidies were put in place to stabilize a flexible agricultural market. The subsidies will save $23 billion over 10 years, and the cut in subsidies will save over $23 billion over 10 years, and the SNAP cuts will save $9 billion in 10 years. The cut in food stamps is more than four times smaller than the Republican version of the Farm Bill put out last year. U.S. PERG has been lobbying for improvements to the Farm Bill for years and says that the current incarnation of the bill still does very little for small farms, and big agriculture wins again because the subsidy program now in place will fund insurance programs that protect against crop loss. The amount that a business can collect to help pay for that insurance has no ceiling. The United States government paid 80% of insurance costs for cotton growers last year. The World Trade Organization member Brazil says that subsidies in the U.S. unfairly tilts the cotton market in the favor of the United States, and as a result, the U.S. pays a fine every year and is subject to huge tariffs on cotton exports. The United States has committed to limit trade-distorting domestic agriculture payouts to $19.1 billion a year. Apparently, the new farm bill does not cut it. The Environmental Working Group produced a report that says 60% of farms receive $5,000 a year in subsidies. Other group puts that number at just over $500 per farm, probably because when averaged in with the 60% or so of farmers that get nothing, the dollar amount is much smaller. There are 26 large farms that receive $1 million a year. Some companies like Monsanto, ConAgra, and Archer Daniels Midland specializes in growing corn for ethanol. The Farm Bill was created in the 40s to help feed the nation after World War II, and now that money goes to grow fuel for tractors to use to grow more fuel. The Senate may vote on their version of the Farm Bill next week. A Marshall University environmental science found traces of formaldehyde in waters near Charleston, West Virginia, after officials gave the all clear to drink it. Scott Simonton says that crude MCHM has
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. Shocks of Sheba has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Welcome to Shocks of Sheba.
Sing about it, love it, yes. Wah-ha-ha. Oh yeah. Wah-ha-ha. Boy. We got to start all over. All over again. We got to start all over. All over. Just like we were back then, there's gotta be a oneness.